Heyo, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part one of How to Kill a Monster by R.L. Stein on Dune Reads Goosebumps. I had a couple suggestions to do, but I'm skipping those to read How to Kill a Monster because the ISIS terrorist, Jihadi John, who grew up in London, when he was 10 years old, put this down as his favorite book. And I'd like to get in the mind of a killer, you know what I'm saying? And into the mind of someone who looks at the monster that they're learning how to kill as Westerners, you know? Right? I don't know. Anyway, this is the third one I started today. So I recorded the second half of The Barking Ghost, and then I started doing a Tales to Give You Goosebumps with my girlfriend because she had finished work because the client canceled and then came home before she was going back to work to get tattooed. And then a client came in and was like, yo, I thought we had a tattoo appointment. And she was like, oh shit, I forgot. And she just Ubered in. And then I had to have the awkward conversation when she's like, oh my God, I'm late. Can you give me a ride? And I'm like, no, I can't. Of course I can't. I'm drunk. I was reading Goosebumps, which is not what you want out of a 28-year-old man. Oh, God, what is wrong with me, Goosebumps listeners? Doesn't matter. Anyway, How to Kill a Monster. I'm drinking a Taka vodka with a little bit of sparkling water and then pomegranate juice. Chapter number one. Why do we have to go there? I wailed from the backseat of the car. Why? Gretchen, I've told you 3 times why. Dad sighed, pointing to one fist, the other fist, and then his dong. That's 3 reasons. Your mother and I have to go to Atlanta for work. You know we got a trap, and that's all the work they have to offer in Atlanta. I know that, I replied, leaning over the front seat. But why can't we go with you? Why do we have to go stay at Grandma and Grandpa's? Because we said so, Mom and Dad declared together. Because we said so. Once they said those deadly words, there was no use arguing. I slumped down in my seat like a junkie. Mom and Dad had some kind of work emergency in Atlanta. They got the call this morning, presumably from Gucci Mane. It's not fair, I thought. They get to visit a cool city like Atlanta, and Clark, my stepbrother, and I had to go to Mudtown. Mudtown? Well, it's not really called Mudtown. It's called Washington, D.C. There's a lot of black people there. Wow, that was a racist girl. No, it should be called Mudtown because it's a swamp. Grandma and Grandma Rose and Grandpa Eddie live in southern Georgia in a swamp. Can you believe it? A swamp. I stared out the car window. We'd been riding on highways all day. Now we were driving on a narrow road through the swamp. It was late afternoon, and the cypress trees began to cast long shadows over the marshy grass. I stuck my head out the window. A blast of hot, humid air hit my face like God's fart. I ducked back in and turned to Clark. His nose was buried in a comic book. Clark is 12, like me. He's much shorter than I am. Much shorter. And he has curly brown hair and brown eyes and tons of freckles. He looks exactly like Mom. I'm kind of tall for my age. I have long, straight blonde hair and green eyes. I look like my dad. My parents divorced when I turned 2 years old. Look at R.L. Stein finally having kids with, well, 2 parents. Or at least their biological parents. The same thing happened to Clark. My dad and his mom married each other right after our 3rd birthdays, and we all moved into a big house together. I like my stepmom, and Clark and I get along okay, I guess. He acts like a jerk sometimes. Even my friends say so, but I think their brothers act like jerks too. Boys, am I right? I stared at Clark, watched him read. His glasses slid down his nose. He pushed them up. Clark, I started. Shh! He waved his hand at me. I'm at the good part. It's a comic book. They're all good parts. Clark loves comic books, like Dune used to. Scary ones. But he's not brave, so he is always terrified by the time he finishes. Speaking of scary comics, you guys should all check out the old art from EC Comics that made like a what's that one with the Tales from the Crypt and stuff? And then they did a bunch of other true crime stuff, but the art is goddamn beautiful. Anyway, I glanced out the window again. I stared at the trees, at the branches, all draped in long gray webs. They dangled from every tree, curtains of gray. They made the swamp look really gloomy. It looked like a locker room at a gym for old people. Just long, gray, drapey grossness. Mom told me about the gray webs when we were packing this morning. She knows a lot about swamps. She thinks swamps are pretty in a spooky sort of way. Me too. Mom said the gray webs are actually a swamp plant that grew right on the trees. A plant that grows on a plant. Weird, I thought. Definitely weird. Almost as weird as Grandma and Grandpa. They're talking about Spanish moss, which used to be used to stuff bedding in pillows and was a big reason people had bed bugs. The more you know. Dad, how come Grandma and Grandpa never visit us? I asked. We haven't seen them since we were four. Well, they're a little strange. Dad peered at me through the rearview mirror. They don't like to travel. They almost never leave their house. And they live so far back in the swamp, it's hard to visit them. Oh, wow, I said. A sleepover with two strange old hermits.
Smelly strange old hermits,
Clark mumbled, glancing up from his comic. Clark! Gretchen! Mom scolded. Don't talk about your grandparents that way.
They're not my grandparents, they're hers.
Clark jerked his head toward me.
And they do smell. I can still remember it.
I punched my stepbrother in the arm. But he was right. Grandma and Grandpa did smell, like a combination of mildew and mothballs. I was about to ask why old people smell, but then I realized, because they don't give a fuck. Why should they take care of shit? What, are they going to do clean behind their ears? They're going to die. So what? I hate young people and their young opinions now that I get old. Young people are the worst. I sank deep into my seat and let out a loud yawn. It seemed as if we'd been riding in the car for weeks, and it was really crowded back there with me, Clark, and Charlie all squished together. Charlie is our dog, a golden retriever. I pushed Charlie out of the way and stretched out.
Quit shoving him on me,
Clark complained. His comic book dropped to the floor. Sit still, Gretchen, Mom muttered. I knew we should have boarded Charlie. That's mean. I could never board Franklin. I'm heading down to the swamps at the very end of this month or early next month to go to New Orleans. We're actually going on a swamp tour on those fan boats. And, Franklin's not getting boarded. That's my whole point. Connie's friend Christy's staying here, so that'll be nice. I tried to find a kennel for him, Dad said, but no one could take him at the last minute. Clark pushed Charlie off his lap and reached down for his comic, but I grabbed it first. Oh, brother, I moaned when I read the title.
Creatures from the Muck? How can you read this garbage?
It's not garbage, Clark shot back. Yeah, it's not garbage, it's Goosebumps, all right? I read them. My name's Dune. Whatever.
It's really cool. Better than those stupid nature magazines you read.
What's it about? I asked, flipping through the pages.
It's about some totally gross monsters. Half human, half beast. They set traps to catch people. Then they hide under the mud near the surface,
Clark explained. Ah, maybe Jihadi John, the terrorist, wanted to be like the mud monsters because he's gross, am I right? He grabbed the comic from my hand.
Then what happens?
I asked.
They wait. They wait as long as it takes for the humans to fall in their traps.
Clark's voice started to quiver.
Then they force them deep into the swamp and make them their slaves.
And presumably cut their heads off. All right, I'm seeing how this works out so far.
Clark shuddered. He glanced out the window, out at the eerie cypress trees with their long gray beards.
It was growing dark now. The trees' shadows shifted over the tall grass.
Clark lowered himself in his seat. He has a wild imagination. He believes the stuff he reads. Then he gets scared like now.
Do they do anything else? I asked. I wanted Clark to tell me more. He was really scaring himself good.
Well, at night, the monsters rise from the mud,
he went on, sliding down his seat some more,
and they drag kids from their beds. They drag them into the swamp. They drag them down into the mud. No one ever sees the kids again, ever. I heard all about it in Coney 2012, the video on YouTube.
Clark was totally freaked now.
There really are creatures like that in the swamp. I read about them in school. I lied. Horrible monsters. Half alligator, half human. Oh, they're doing crocodile. I need to start trying some of that. Apparently it's in the U.S. now, so if you want to slam some fake heroin that turns your body into a open, festering wound, get some crocodile. Why not? Send me pictures of what happens. Covered with mud with spiky scales underneath, hidden. If you just brush against one, the scales rip the flesh right off your fucking bones. Gretchen, stop, Mom warned. Clark hugged Charlie close to him. Hey, Clark, I pointed out the window to an old, narrow bridge up ahead. Its wooden planks sagged. It looked ready to crumble. I bet a swamp monster's waiting for us under that bridge. Clark gazed out the window at the bridge. He hugged Charlie close to him. Dad began steering the car over the wooden planks. They rumbled and groaned under the weight. I held my breath as we slowly rolled across. This bridge can't hold us, I thought. No way. Dad drove very, very slowly. It seemed to take forever to ride across. Clark clung to Charlie. He kept his eyes out the window, glued to the bridge. When we finally neared the end, I let out a long whoosh of air. That's what a whoosh of air sounds like, listeners. And then I gasped. That's what that sounds like, as a deafening explosion rocked the car. No! Clark and I both screamed as the car swerved wildly as if Mr. Toad were driving it. Skidded out of control, it crashed into the side of the old bridge, plowed right through the old wood. We're going down, Dad cried. I shut my eyes as we plunged into the swamp. I'm really good at reading Goosebumps, guys. I seriously mentally complain when people text me too much during Goosebumps and then too little because it doesn't distract me in between chapters, but what the fuck is wrong with me? Why do I need everything perfect? I don't know. Point is, I think I'm just losing my mind from recording too much. Speaking of what chapter number two? We hit hard with a loud thud. Clark and Charlie bounced all over the back seat. When the car finally slid to a stop, they were sitting on top of me. Is everyone okay? Mom asked in a shaky voice. She turned to the back. Huh? I replied. I guess. We all sat quiet for a moment. Charlie broke the silence with a soft whimper. What happened? Clark stammered. Flat tire, Dad sighed. Hope the spare's okay. There's no way we're going to get help at night in the middle of a swamp because cell phones aren't a thing that everyone has now. I leaned out the window to check out the flat tire. Dad was right. It was flat as fuck, just like my 12-year-old chest. Boy. No, not like a boy. Like a girl, it's becoming a girl. Whatever. Oh, it just says, boy, were we lucky, I thought. Lucky this was a low bridge. Otherwise... Okay, everybody, get out of the car, Mom interrupted my thoughts, so Dad can change the tire. Clark took a long look out the car window before opening the door. I could tell he was afraid. Better be careful, Clark, I said as he swung his short, stubby legs out the door. The swamp monster likes low targets. By the way, the cover of the book had two hands sticking out of like a closet or a bedroom door, like a kid's bedroom, and they looked like, I think, a green version of Sully from Monsters, Inc. I don't know how I'm going to Photoshop myself in, but I'll figure it out. That's funny, Gretchen. Really funny. Remind me to laugh. Dad headed for the trunk to find the jack. Mom followed. Clark and I stepped into the swamp. Ah, gross! My brand new white high top sank into the thick black mud. I let out a long sigh. How could anyone live in a swamp? I wanted to know. It was so gross out here. The air felt thick and soupy. Ugh. So hot, it was hard to breathe. As I pulled my hair back into a scrunchie, that was a weird emphasis, I glanced around. I couldn't see much. The sky had darkened to black. Clark and I drifted away from the car. Let's explore while Dad fixes the tire, I suggested. I don't think that's such a good idea, Clark murmured. Sure it is, I urged. There's nothing else to do, and it's better than standing around here waiting, isn't it? I guess? Clark stammered. We took a few steps into the swamp. My face began to tingle and itch. Mosquitoes. Hundreds of them. I fucking hate mosquitoes. I think I run hot. I'm always hot and uncomfortable. When everyone's cold, I'm always fucking fine. And then mosquitoes eat me like crazy, and someone said it's body temperature. Remember when I got back from New Orleans in August, and I recorded an episode and told you how many mosquito bites I had? I think it was into, like, the mid-70s. What the fuck? Ugh. We ducked and dodged, frantically brushing them off our faces, off our bare arms. By the way, I should never go anywhere where there's malaria, right? I'll just get it. Malaria is fucking stupid, right? Everyone hates that shit. Isn't that like the number one killer of people, like, ever? Even more so than, like, AIDS and drive-bys combined? Yuck, it's disgusting out here, Clark cried. I'm not staying here. I'm going to Atlanta. It's not this buggy at Grandma's house, Mom called out. Oh, sure, Clark rolled his eyes. I'm going back to the car. Come on, I insisted. Let's just see what's over there. I pointed to a patch of tall grass ahead. I stomped through the mud, glancing over my shoulder to make sure that Clark was following me. He was. As we reached the grass, we could hear a loud rustling deep in the blades. Clark and I peered down, straining to see in the dark. Don't wander too far, Dad warned, as he and Mom pulled our luggage from the trunk, searching for a flashlight. There might be snakes out there. Fuck, I hate snakes. Snakes! Whoa! Clark jumped away. He started running full speed back to the car, just like Dune was. Don't be a baby, I called after him. Let's go and do some exploring. No way, he choked out the words. Don't call me a baby. I'm sorry, I apologized. Come on, we'll walk over to that tree, the one that towers over the others. It's not that far away. Then we'll come right back. I promise. Please. Clark and I started toward the tree. We walked slowly through the darkness, through the jungle of cypress trees. The curtains of gray swayed on the tree branches. They were so thick, thick enough to hide behind. It would be really easy to get lost in here, I realized. Lost forever. I shuddered as the heavy gray curtains brushed against my skin. They felt like spider webs. I felt like Gwen Stefani walking through the spider webs, huge sticky spider webs. Come on, Gretchen, let's turn back, Clark pleaded. It's gross out here. Just a little further, I urged him. We made our way carefully through the trees, sloshing through puddles of inky water. Tiny bugs buzzed in my ears. Bigger ones bit at my neck. I swatted them away. I stepped forward onto a dry, grassy patch of ground. Whoa! The patch started to move, started to float across the black water. I leaped off and stumbled on a tree root. No, not a tree root. Hey, Clark, look at this. I bent to get a better look. What is that? Clark kneeled beside me and peered at the knobby form. Not making a cock joke. It's called a cypress knee, I explained. Mom told me about them. They grow near the cypress trees. They rise up from the roots. How come Mom never tells me these things? I demanded. By the way, where are their other mom and other dad? Because they both refer to each parent's mom and dad. She just said divorced. But why the fuck is her mom completely out of her life? I guess my biggest lesson, aside from, you know, last episode's lesson was don't murder people, which is a good one. And this one's lesson is raise your fucking kids. If you make a kid, you gotta raise it. That's your whole fucking job. That's all you do there. It doesn't matter. You can't go out and party and do stuff. You can, as long as you're responsible with a kid and you get babysitter that's not gonna molest them and shit. Just raise your fucking kids. That should be your number one priority once you fucking have a kid. I guess she doesn't want to scare you, I replied. Yeah, right, he muttered, pushing up his glasses. Want to go back now? We're almost there, see? I pointed to the tall tree. It stood in a small clearing just a few feet away. Clark followed me into the clearing. The air smelled sour here. The night sounds of the swamp echoed in the darkness. We could hear low moans, shrill cries, the moans and cries of swamp creatures, I thought. Hidden swamp creatures. A shiver ran down my spine. I moved deeper into the clearing. The tree with the high branches stood right before me. Clark stumbled over a log, stumbled into a black pool of mucky water.
He done struck oil! Oil! Oh my goodness!
That's it, he groaned. I'm out of here. Even in the dark, I could see the frightened expression on Clark's face. It was scary in the swamp, but Clark seemed so petrified that I started to giggle. And then I heard the footsteps. Clark heard them too. Heavy, thudding footsteps across the black, misty swamp like the cover of a black metal album. Charging closer, heading straight for us. Come on, Clark cried, yanking on my arm. Time to go. But I didn't move. I couldn't move. Now I could hear the creatures breathing. Heavy, rasping breaths. Nearer. Nearer, it came springing out from behind the gray, bearded tree limbs, a tall, black form. Olajuwon, a huge swamp creature, loping toward us, darker than the black swamp mud, with glowing red eyes.
By the way, I just was reading the Tales to Give You Goosebumps for like a minute and a half before my girlfriend got the call to leave, but lots of glowing red eyes and goosebumps. I've never seen glowing red eyes in my life, and everyone of these kids, like, accidentally sees them dozens of times. What the fuck, Arlstein? Alright, two chapters in, and I still don't want to murder anyone, especially infidels. Pretty big fan of infidels, to be fair. Let's finish this cocktail and start this.
Chapter number 3.
Charlie, what are you doing down there? Mom cried, marching into the clearing. I thought you kids were watching him.
Charlie? I'd forgotten all about Charlie. Charlie was the swamp monster. Really, your dog with glowing red eyes?
That's fucking bullshit, Arlstein. Not every animal has glowing red eyes in the dark. It's not fair. You're using fucking literary cheat codes.
I've been looking all over for you, Mom snapped angrily.
Didn't we tell you to stay by the car?
Dad and I have been searching everywhere.
Sorry, Mom, I apologized. I couldn't say any more.
Charlie leaped on me and knocked me down into the mud.
Off, Charlie, off, I shouted.
But he planted his huge paws on my shoulders and licked my face.
I was covered in mud.
Totally covered.
Come on, boy. Clark tugged on Charlie's collar.
You were scared, Gretchen. You thought Charlie was a swamp monster.
Clark laughed. You were really scared.
I was not, I sputtered, wiping the mud from my jeans.
I was just trying to scare you.
You were really scared. Just admit it,
Clark insisted. Just admit it.
That's the first step. By the way, I got an email the other day that was apologizing. It was my old roommate who was apparently sober now, apologizing for shit. And I think it was, I'm not completely sure. I don't know if he's just being nice or if he was working the steps, but I think it was my first someone working the 12-step program and getting to the step that involves making amends of him apologizing. Maybe I'll have a few more of those in the future. It'd be nice.
I was not scared. My voice started to rise.
Who's the one begging to go back? I reminded him. You?
What about all the fighting?
Dad demanded.
And what are you... What's all the fighting about?
Sorry.
Dad demanded. And what are you two doing way out here? Didn't I tell you to stay near the car?
Sorry, Dad. I apologize. But we were kind of bored, just waiting around.
We? What do you mean we? It was all Gretchen's idea,
Clark protested.
She was the one who wanted to explore the swamp.
That's enough, Dad scolded. Everyone, back to the fucking car.
Clark and I argued all the way back. Charlie trotted by my side, flinging more mud on my jeans.
The flat was fixed. Ooh, I'm Gretchen's dad. I know how to do things to a car that Dune doesn't know how to do because he's incompetent. He's always had AAA and he's a baby.
But now, Dad had to get back in the car. Now, Dad had to get the car back on the road. And it wasn't easy. Every time he stepped on the gas, the tires just spun around and around in the thick mud. Finally, we all got out and pushed. Now, Mom and Clark were splattered with mud, too. As we drove away, I stared out at the dark, eerie marsh and listened to the night sounds. Sharp chitters, low moans, shrill cries. I'd heard lots of stories about swamp monsters, and I'd read some ancient legends about them. Could they be real? I wondered, do swamp monsters really exist? Little did I know that I would soon find out the answer to that question the hard way. Is the hard way no? It's probably yes, you know, because the book's about monsters. We'll find out, won't we? Oh, Dune Reads Goosebumps, you are so wacky.
Chapter 4! Yeah, it's chapter 4!
Yes, they do. No way, I told Dad. That can't be where they live. That's their house, Dad insisted as the car bumped up a narrow, sandy road. That's Grandma and Grandpa's house. That can't be their house. Clark rubbed his eyes. It's a swamp mirage. I read about them in Creatures from the Muck. The swamp mud plays tricks on your eyes. Makes you see things. Ooh, just like DMT. See what I mean about Clark? He really does believe the stuff he reads. And it was beginning to sound right to me. How else could you explain Grandma and Grandpa's house? A castle. A castle in the middle of a mud swamp. Almost hidden in a grove of dark, towering trees, Dad pulled the car up to the front door. I stared at the house in the glow of the headlights. 3 stories high, built of dark gray stone. A turret rose up on the right side. On the left, a sliver of white smoke curled from a blackened chimney. This is some sweet-ass fucking Harry Potter shit. I thought swamp houses were smaller, I murmured, and built on stilts. That's the way they look in my comic, Clark agreed. And what's with the windows? His voice shook. Are they vampires or something? Ah, great. Now Stephanie Meyer stole that whole fucking book from this Goosebumps book, and then 50 Shades of Grey was stolen from Twilight, which was stolen from this, and that's how fucking R.L. Stine's responsible for making every woman in the world come. I stared at the windows. They were tiny, and I could see only 3 of them. 3 tiny windows in the entire house. 1 on each floor. Come on, kids, Mom said. Let's get your luggage. Mom, Dad, and Clark climbed out of the car and headed for the trunk. I stood by the car door with Charlie. The night air felt cold and damp on my skin. I thought it felt hot and damp, asshole. When it was already pitch black out. Come on. You know, consistency, that's all I want. I stared up at the big, dark house, almost hidden behind the trees in the middle of nowhere. And then I heard a howl. Howl! A mournful howl. Howl! From somewhere deep in the swamp, a chill swept through me. Charlie pressed against my leg. I bent to pet him. What could that be? I whispered to the dog in the dark. What kind of creature howls like that? A dune? Could be. Gretchen! Mom waved from the front door of the house. Everyone else had gone inside. Oh my, Grandma said, as I stepped into the dim entrance. This can't be our little Gretchen. She wrapped her frail arms around me and gave me a big hug. She smelled just the way I'd remembered. Musty. I glanced at Clark. He rolled his eyes. I stepped back and forced a smile. Move aside, Rose, Grandpa yelled. Let me get a good look at her. He's a little hard of hearing, Dad whispered to me. Grandpa clasped my hand between his wrinkled fingers. He and Grandma seem so slight, so fragile. Aw, that sucks that he's hard of hearing. How does he just have to, like, read Goosebumps books by himself and then make his own commentary? I don't understand. How does he listen to Dune Reads Goosebumps? He needs to get, like, a cochlear imprint. Implant or something, right? Cochlear? Whatever. We're really happy you're here, Grandma explained. Her blue eyes twinkled. We don't get many visitors. For a while, we thought you weren't coming, Grandpa shouted. We expected you hours ago. Flat tire, Dad explained. Tired? Grandma wrapped his arms around her. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Tired? Grandpa wrapped his arms around Dad. Well then, come in and sit down, son. Clark giggled. Mom shoved an elbow into his side. Grandpa and Grandma led us into the living room. The room was enormous. Our whole house could probably fit inside it. The walls were painted green, drab green. Fucking baby puke green. I stared up at the ceiling, up at an iron chandelier that held 12 candles in a circle. An enormous fireplace took up most of one wall. The other walls were covered with black and white photographs, yellowed with age and possibly soaked in pee-pee. Photographs everywhere, of people I didn't recognize, probably dead relatives, I thought, all soaked in possible pee-pee. I glanced through a doorway into the next room, the dining room. It appeared to be as big as the living room, just as dark, just as dreary, just as possibly soaked in pee-pee. Clark and I sat down on a tattered green couch that smelled like pee-pee. I felt the old spring sag under the weight of my bladder, which was full of pee-pee. Charlie groaned and stretched out on the floor at our feet and let out a long stream of pee-pee. I glanced around the room, at the pictures, at the worn rug, pee-pee, at the shabby tables and chairs. The flickering light above us made our shadows dance on the walls like so much pee-pee. Alright, I'm done with the pee-pee, I'm sorry. I don't know what, fuck. I was like starting to turn into like Howard Hughes and just repeating things. I got a new cocktail, by the way, don't worry. This place is creepy, Clark whispered, and it really smells bad. Worse than Grandma and Grandpa. I choked back a laugh, but Clark was right. The room smelled strange, damp and sour. Why did two people want to live like this, I wondered, in this musty, dark house, deep in the swamp? Would anyone like something to drink? Grandma interrupted my thoughts. How about a nice cup of pee-pee? Man, Dune rules! I'm sorry. How about a nice cup of tea? Clark and I shook our heads no. Mom and Dad also said no. They sat opposite us. The stuffing in their chairs spilled out the backs. Well, you're finally here, Grandpa yelled to us. It's just great. So, tell me, how come you were late? Grandpa, Grandma shouted to him. No more questions. Then she turned to us. After such a long trip, you must be starving. Come into the kitchen. I made my special chicken pot pie just for you. We followed Grandma and Grandpa into the kitchen. It looked like all the other rooms, dark and dingy. Is that also how you spell dingy? As in, like, water? Dingy? Right, whatever. But it didn't smell as ancient as the other rooms. The tangy aroma of chicken pot pie floated through the air. Grandma removed 8 small pies from the oven, one for each of us, and a couple extras in case we were starving, I guess. Grandma placed one on my plate and I began to dig right in. I was starving. As I lifted the fork to my mouth, Charlie sprang up from his place on the floor and started to sniff. He sniffed our chairs, the counter, the floor. He leaped up to the table and sniffed. Charlie, stop! Dad ordered. Down! Charlie jumped from the table. Then he reared up in front of us and curled his upper lip. He let out a growl. A low, menacing growl that erupted into loud barking, furious barking. What on earth is wrong with him? Grandma demanded, frowning at the dog. I don't know, Dad told her. He's never done that before. It's probably the swamp monsters, just saying. What is it, Charlie? I asked. I shoved my chair from the table and approached him. Charlie sniffed the air. He barked. He sniffed some more. A chill of fear washed over me. What is it, boy? What do you smell? I guess we'll find out what he smells in Chapter 5. Chapter 5. I grabbed Charlie's collar, petted him, tried to calm him down, but he jerked out of my grasp. He barked even louder. Woof, 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 woof. I reached for his collar again and tugged him toward me. His nails scraped the floor as he pulled away. The more I tugged on his collar, the harder Charlie fought. He swung his head sharply from side to side and started to growl. Easy, boy, I said softly. Easy. Nothing worked. Finally, Clark helped me drag Charlie into the living room, where he started to settle down. What do you think's wrong with him? Clark asked as we stroked the dog's head. I don't No. I stared down at Charlie. Restless now, he was turning in circles. Then he sat. Then turned in circles. Again and again.
This is another Goosebumps tip for the 12-year-old kids around the world. If your dog freaks out, you should freak out too. Some shit's about to go down.
I just don't get it. He's never done that before, ever. Clark and I decided to wait in the living room with Charlie while Mom and Dad finished eating. We weren't hungry anymore.
How's that dog of yours?
Grandpa came in and sat down next to us. He ran his wrinkled fingers through his thinning gray hair.
Better, Clark answered, pushing his glasses up.
Pet her?
Grandpa hollered. Sure, if you think that'll help.
Because he doesn't hear well, that's the joke. It's like how Asian people can't pronounce, not Asian, just, you know, some groups like Japanese can't do the L's and the R's, and then you mix them up, and then you make an entire career out of it, and you call yourself Joe Coy. Anyway, there's a drinking break here.
After dinner, Mom, Dad, Grandma, and Grandpa talked and talked about practically everything that happened since they last saw each other 8 years ago. Clark and I were bored, really bored, because we didn't have smartphones yet.
Can we, watch television?
Clark finally asked.
Oh, sorry, dear,
Grandma apologized. We don't have a television.
Clark glowered at me, as if it was my fault. Glowered, listeners!
That's a word.
Why don't you call Arnold?
I suggested. Arnold is the biggest nerd in our neighborhood and Clark's best friend.
Remind him to pick up your new comic.
Okay, Clark grumbled. Where's the phone?
In town?
Grandma smiled weakly.
We don't know many people still alive.
That's fucking depressing.
Doesn't pay to have a phone.
Mr. Donner, at the general store, he takes messages for us.
Oh, that's really, really sad. All our friends have died, like the guy from Basketball Diaries.
Haven't seen Donner all week, though, Grandpa added. Our car broke down. Should be fixed soon. Any day now.
No television, no phone, no car. In the middle of a swamp.
This time, it was my turn to glower. At Mom and Dad. I put on my angriest face.
All right, listeners, I'm going to count to three. And no matter where you're listening, we're all going to put on our angriest face. You ready? It's going to be one, two, three, face, you know? It's not going to be just on three. Ready? So, angriest face. One, two, three.
So angry.
You guys did a great job. Great job, everyone.
I was sure they were going to take us to Atlanta with them. Absolutely sure.
Dad glanced at Mom. He opened his mouth to speak. Then he turned towards me and shrugged an apology.
Guess it's time for bed, Grandpa checked his watch.
You two have to get an early start, he said to Mom and Dad.
Tomorrow, you're going to have so much fun,
Grandma assured Clark and me.
Yes, indeed, Grandpa agreed.
This big old house is great to explore. You'll have a real adventure.
And I'm going to bake my famous rhubarb pie, Grandma explained.
You kids can help me. You'll love it. It's so sweet. Your teeth will fall out after one bite.
It's not really rhubarb so much as it is meth, but it will rot your teeth. Don't get me wrong.
I heard Clark gulp loudly.
I groaned.
Mom and Dad ignored us. They said goodnight and goodbye. They were leaving really early in the morning, probably before we got up. We followed Grandpa up to the dark, creaky old steps and down a long, winding hall to our rooms on the second floor. Clark's room was right next to mine. I didn't have a chance to see what it looked like. After Clark went in, Grandma quickly ushered me to my room. My room. My gloomy room. Gloomity roomity. Room, 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 gloom, 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 doon, doon, doon.
I set my suitcase down next to the bed and glanced around. The room was nearly as big as a gym, and it didn't have a single window. The only light came from a dim yellow bulb in a small lamp next to the bed. A handmade rug covered the floor. Worn thin in spots, its rings of colors were dingy with age. A warped wooden dresser sat against the wall opposite the bed. It leaned to one side like a cholo. The drawers hung out like a cholo sagging. A bed, a lamp, a dresser. Only three pieces of furniture in this huge-ass motherfucking windowless room. Even the walls were bare. Not a single picture covered the dreary gray paint. I sat down on the bed. I leaned against the bars of iron headboard. I ran my fingers over the blanket. Scratchy wool that smelled of mothballs. No way I'm going to use that blanket, I said out loud. No way. But I knew I would. Why lie to yourself? I'm talking to you, listeners. You need to lose weight. The room was cold and damp. I began to shiver. I quickly changed into my pajamas and pulled the smelly old blanket over me. I twisted and turned, trying to get comfortable on the lumpy mattress. I stared up at the ceiling and listened to the night sounds of the creepy old house. Strange creaking noises that echoed through the old halls. Then I heard the howls, frightening animal howls on the other side of the wall. The sad howls from the swamp. I sat up. Were they coming from Clark's room?
I don't know, probably not. You know, judging how these chapters end with some sort of big, and then nothing. But we'll see, right? That's what we're here for. We're all listening to me read Goosebumps for this reason.
Chapter 6. I listened hard, afraid to move. Another long, sad howl from outside. Not from Clark's room. What'd I tell you? Not Clark's room. Stop it, I scolded myself. Clark is the one with the wild imagination, not you. But I couldn't shut out the eerie howls from the swamp. Was it an animal? Was it a swamp monster? Was it a rock lobster? I pressed the pillows over my face. It took me hours to fall asleep. When I woke up, I didn't know if it was morning or the middle of the night. Without a window, it was impossible to tell. Yeah, that is kind of torture, to be fair. I read my watch. 8:30, morning. I searched through the suitcase for my new pink t-shirt. I needed something to cheer me up, and pink is my favorite color. I pulled on my jeans, slipped on my muddy sneakers, and turned my swag on. I looked in the mirror and said, "What's up, what's up, what's up, what's up?" I dressed very quickly. The room reminded me of a prison cell. I wanted to escape fast. I opened the bedroom door and peeked into the hall. Empty. But there, across my room, I saw a small window I hadn't noticed the night before. A bright ray of sunshine filtered through the dusty glass. I peered outside into the swamp. A heavy mist hung over the red cypress trees, casting a soft, rosy glow over the wet land. The glowing mist made the swamp look all mysterious and unreal tournament and shit. Something purple fluttered on a nearby tree limb. A purple bird. A purple bird with a bright orange beak. I'd never seen a bird like that before. Isn't that what like the bird looked like from the old McDonald's commercials? No, I think it's just yellow. Then I heard the sounds again. The horrible howls. This is just like the last book I read, The Barking Ghost, whatever. The shrill cries from animals hiding deep in the swamp. All kinds of creatures I'd probably never seen before. Swamp creatures. Swamp monsters! Sorry. I shuddered, then turned away from the window and headed for Clark's room. I knocked on the door. Clark? No answer. Clark? Silence. I burst through the door and let out a cry. The sheets on Clark's bed lay in a tangled mess, as if there had been some kind of struggle, and now there was nothing left of Clark. Nothing but part of his pajamas crumpled on the bed. Hey, listeners, just like last time, I bet it's absolutely nothing, you know? But he just walked out of bed and got dressed and ready for his day. Fucking R.L. Stine on this one. I cannot believe this is Jihadi John's favorite book. This is just one of many bad decisions he clearly made. Ugh. Chapter number 7. No! I opened my mouth in a terrified cry. Gretchen, what's your problem? Clark stepped out of the closet. Oh, that boy gay! Oh, snap!
Just kidding, he was probably just in a closet.
He wore a t-shirt, baseball cap, sneakers, and his pajama bottoms. I could clearly see the outline of his dingle.
By the way, I really like the Adidas Tiro track pants, the ones that are like form fitting, right? They're slim fit. So I bought their 3/4 shorts. They go past the knee, which is already a super gay decision. And that they were made of a completely different material. And I put them on. And then my girlfriend's like, yeah, you can't wear those outside. And I was like, why? And turns out you can see everything. Like, the material's so thin that you can just see, like, more so than like boxers, you can just see penis. So the point is, don't buy the Adidas Tiro 3/4 pants. No good. Dong. No problem, I stammered, my heart still pounding. Then why'd you scream? Clark demanded. And why do you look so weird? I look weird? You're the one who looks weird, I snapped, pointing to his pajama bottoms. Where are your pants? He hasn't got dressed yet, right? So what? I don't know, he shook his head. I think Mom must have packed them in your suitcase by mistake. I have to stop letting this big old house spook me. Clark is the one with the wild imagination, not me, I reminded myself again. Come on, I told my stepbrother. Let's go back to my room and look for your jeans. On the way down to breakfast, Clark Wait, did he find the pants or not? We're assuming that he did. There wasn't even a drinking break. On the way down to breakfast, Clark stopped to peer out the hall window. The mist had cleared. The dew-covered plants glistened in the sunlight. It looks sort of pretty, doesn't it? I murmured. Yeah, Clark replied. Pretty? Pretty creepy! Oh, fucking Clark, you motherfucker. The kitchen looked pretty creepy, too. It was dark, almost as dark in the morning as the night before, but the back door was open, and some sun splashed on the floor and the walls. We could hear the sounds of the swamp through the open door, but I tried to ignore them. Grandma stood by the stove, a spatula in one hand, a huge plate of blueberry pancakes in the other. I don't like blueberry pancakes. Meh. She sat down the spatula and plate and wiped her hands on her faded flower apron. Then she gave us each a big good morning hug, smearing Clark with pancake batter. I pointed at the stains on his shirt and giggled. Then I glanced down at my shirt. Motherfucker. My brand new pink t-shirt splotched with blueberry stains. Fucking grandma! I glanced around the kitchen for something to use to clean my shirt. The room was a disaster. Globs of pancake batter dripped from the stove. Batter covered the countertops and stuck to the floor. Then I got a good look at grandma. She was a disaster, too. Her face was striped blue and white. Flour and blueberry stains filled the creases of her wrinkled cheeks. She had flour streaked across her nose and her chin. Did you sleep well? She smiled, and her blue eyes crinkled. With the back of her hand, she wiped a wisp of gray hair from her eyes. Now, a glob of blueberry batter nested in the thin strands of her hair. Why don't you tell her? Why don't you, like, be the granddaughter version of a bro and help your grandma out?
I did, Grandpa answered, as a loud shriek rang out from the swamp. Coop-brrr!
Always do. It's so quiet and peaceful here. I had to smile. Maybe Grandpa's lucky that he's hard of hearing, I thought. Grandpa headed out the door, and Clark and I brushed ourselves off. Then we took our seats at the table. In the middle of the table sat another plate of blueberry pancakes. This plate was even bigger than the one Grandma had been holding, and it was stacked high with blueberry pancakes. Grandma must think we eat like pigs. Clark leaned over and whispered, "There's enough here for 50 people." "I know," I groaned, "and we'll have to eat them all. Otherwise, she'll be insulted." Ugh. It's like the Mitch Hedberg joke, the pancaking one, right? Where you don't want to be all exciting at first, and then be all, by the end, you're fucking sick of them. In reference to stand-up, but pancakes and podcasts and water. Clark gulped. That's one of the things I really like about my stepbrother. He believes almost everything I tell him. Help yourself, Grandma chirped. This is like a Boost Mobile commercial. Carrying two more plates of pancakes to the table. Don't be shy. Why did Grandma make all these pancakes, I wondered. There was no way we could eat all of them, no fucking way. I placed a few pancakes on my plate. Grandma heaped about 10 onto Clark's plate. His face turned green. Grandma sat down with us, but her plate remained empty. She didn't take a single pancake. All those pancakes, and she didn't take one. I didn't get it, I thought. I just don't get it.
What's that you're reading, dear?
She pointed to Clark's rolled-up comic sticking out of his back pocket of his jeans.
Creatures from the Muck,
he answered between bites. Oh, how interesting, Grandma replied. I love to read. So does Grandpa Eddie. We read all the time. We love mysteries. There's nothing like a good mystery, Grandpa Eddie always says.
I jumped up from the table. I remembered. Grandma and Grandpa's presents were still packed in my suitcase. Books! Mysteries! Dad told us they loved them.
Be right back. I excused myself and dashed upstairs. Had this been 6 years later, I would have said BRB like people used to say on the internet, but now they don't say that anymore because they're always on their devices, so they never have to be right back because they're always available. I started down the long, windy hall to my room, then stopped when I heard footsteps. Who could it be?
I gazed down the dark hall. I gasped when I spotted a shadow moving against the wall. Someone else was up here. Someone was creeping toward me.
Chapter number eight.
I pressed my back against the wall, held my breath, and listened. The shadows slid out of view. The footsteps grew softer. Still holding my breath, I inched down the dark, twisting hallway. I peeked around the corner, and I saw it. The shadow, nearly shapeless in the dim light. It moved slowly along the dark green walls, growing smaller as the footsteps faded into the distance.
Dune, getting those text messages.
I crept swiftly, but silently, chasing the shadow through the corridor.
Whose shadow is it? I wondered. Who else is up here?
I crept closer. The shadow on the wall loomed large again. My heartbeat quickened as I chased the mysterious shape. The shadow turned another corner. I hurried to the turn as quietly as I could and stopped. Whoever it was, I'm glad it wasn't, or whatever, like he loves to do, stood right there.
Just beyond the river bend,
or the turn. I took a deep breath and peeked around the corner and saw Grandpa Eddie. Grandpa Eddie carrying a huge platter stacked high with blueberry pancakes. How did Grandpa Eddie get up here? I wondered. I thought I saw him go outside. Grandpa Eddie came in through another door. I decided that has to be it.
Secret hideaway doors.
This house is huge. It's probably got lots of doors and halls and stairways I haven't discovered yet. But what was he doing up here? Carrying an enormous tray of pancakes. Where was he taking them?
It's probably the monster that lives in the house with them.
What a mystery! Grandpa Eddie carefully balanced the big silver tray between his hands as he made his way down the hall. I have to follow him, I thought. I have to see where he's going.
Wait, obviously your grandparents are keeping some sort of monster, right? That would explain why they never visit or anything, and they live in a random place in the swamp with no internets.
I padded down the hallway. I wasn't too worried about being quiet now. After all, Grandpa couldn't hear shit. I walked only a few yards behind him. When I heard the sounds, I froze, just like Mario in his tanuki suit turning into a statue. Sniffing behind me, furious sniffing. Oh no, Charlie! Charlie bounded down the hall toward me, sniffing, sniffing, sniffing furiously. Then the dog spotted me and stopped.
Good dog, I whispered, trying to shoo him away. Go back, go back.
But he broke into a run, barking his head off. I grabbed for his collar as he tried to dodge me, to race down the hall to Grandpa. I grasped the collar tightly. He barked even louder.
Rose? Grandpa Eddie called out. Is that you, Rose?
Come on, Charlie, I whispered. Let's get out of here. I dragged Charlie around the corner before Grandpa could catch me spying on him. Tugging the dog, I ducked into my room. I sat down on the scratchy blanket for a second to catch my breath. Then I quickly rummaged through my suitcase for Grandma and Grandpa's mystery books. There was Grandpa. Where was Grandpa going with those pancakes? I wondered as I hurried down the stairs with the presents. Obviously, J.K. Rowling took all of this for Hagrid's, you know, relationship with different pets. This is all of Harry Potter stolen from Goosebumps. Why was he creeping along so silently? It was a mystery I had to solve. If only I had minded my own business.
Chapter 9.
Why don't you two go out and play while I clean up these dishes? Grandma suggested after breakfast.
Then you can help me make my sweet as sugar rhubarb pie.
Play?
Clark grumbled. Does she think we're 2-year-olds?
Let's go out, Clark. I pulled him through the back door.
But,
am I right?
Hanging out in the swamp wasn't exactly my idea of fun, but anything was better than sitting around that creepy old house. We stepped into the bright sunlight, and I gasped. The hot, steamy air felt like heavy weight against my skin. I tried to breathe deeply, to shake the smothered feeling I had.
I get that. I would move to Louisiana if it weren't for the, you know, a third of the year that you feel like you're dying every time you go outside. I can't handle that. I need to move somewhere where it's, like, always cold and sad. I guess I need to go to, like, Norway or Finland. Yeah, Sweden. Somewhere that they make black metal.
So what are we gonna do? Clark grumbled, also drawing in a deep breath. I glanced around and spotted a path. It started at the back of the house and trailed into the swamp.
Let's explore a little, I suggested.
I am not walking through a swamp, Clark declared, as the antithesis of the crocodile hunter. No way.
What are you afraid of?
Comic book monsters, I teased him. Creatures from the muck, I laughed. You're a riot, bitch, Clark muttered, scowling. We walked a few steps. The sun filtered through the treetops, casting leafy shadows along the trail.
Snakes, Clark admitted. I'm afraid of snakes, just like Dune, and he's rad as hell.
Don't worry, I told him. I'll watch out for snakes. You watch out for gators.
Gators? Clark's eyes opened wide.
Yeah, sure. We're about to gator done, I replied. Swamps are filled with man-eating alligators. A voice interrupted us.
Gretchen! Clark!
Don't stray too far.
I turned and saw Grandpa. He stood a few yards behind us. What was that in his hand? A huge saw. Its sharp teeth glinted in the sunlight. Grandpa headed toward a small, unfinished shed. It stood a few feet off the side of the path, tucked between two tall cypress trees.
Okay, I shouted to Grandpa. We won't go far.
Want to help finish the shed?
He yelled, waving the saw.
Building things builds confidence, I always say.
Oh, isn't he a little phrase-a-day calendar, am I right, listeners?
Maybe later, I answered.
Yeah, that grandpa has things like, building things builds confidence. I have good advice like, don't murder people and raise your kids.
That's solid.
Wanna help?
Grandpa shouted again.
Clark cupped his hands around his mouth and yelled, later! Then he turned back toward the path. And tripped over a dark form that rose up quickly, silently from the muddy grass.
Chapter 10.
Gator, gator! Clark shrieked. Grandpa waved his saw wildly. Later, later! Okay, okay! Help me, it's got me!
Clark wailed. I peered down, down at the dark shape in the grass and laughed.
A cypress knee, I said calmly.
Clark turned. Wait, you can't say that it's just roots sticking out when you say that it's... Let me go back. A dark form that rose up quickly. You can say it rose up and then it was like already there and shit, but you can't have it just randomly grow out and say it rose up quickly. R.L. Stine. That is just bad journalism.
Clark turned, his mouth still open in fright. He stared at the knobby form in the grass.
It's a cypress limb poking up from the grass, I explained. It's called a cypress knee. I showed you one yesterday.
Remember?
I remembered, he lied. Just wanted to scare you.
I started to crack a joke, but I saw Clark's whole body trembling as he picked himself up. I felt kind of sorry for him.
Let's go back to the house, I suggested.
Grandma's probably waiting for us to make her sweet-as-sugar rhubarb pie.
On the way back, I told Clark about seeing Grandpa upstairs and the huge tray of pancakes he carried, but Clark didn't think it was at all strange.
He probably just likes to eat in bed, he said. Mom and Dad always like breakfast in bed.
Yeah, because they just got done banging and they're hungry, yeah? They're finally going to make their own kid that they'll actually love instead of half-loving both of you, yeah?
Yeah, maybe, I agreed, but I wasn't convinced. I wasn't convinced at all.
Well, you two look as if you've had fun,
Grandma chirped when we walked through the door.
Clark and I glanced at each other and shrugged.
Are you ready to bake? Grandma smiled. Everything is ready. She waved at the counter, at the pie ingredients all lined up. Who wants to roll out the dough? She asked, staring straight at me, while I sliced the rhubarb.
I will, I guess, I replied.
Clark sighed. Maybe I'll go into the living room, read my comic, he told Grandma, trying to escape. Mom says I just get in the way when she tries to cook.
Oh, fucking nonsense, Grandma replied.
You measure out the sugar. Lots and lots of sugar, because we're in Georgia where no one's ever had diabetes. I rolled out the pie dough. It seemed like an awful lot of dough, but then, what do I know? I'm never around when Mom bakes. She says I get in the way, too. When the dough was rolled flat, Grandma took over.
Okay, chillins,
you sit down at the table and have a nice glass of milk and I'll finish up. Clark and I weren't thirsty, but we didn't feel like arguing. We drank our milk and watched Grandma finish making the pie. No, not one pie. Three fucking pies.
Grandma, how come you're making three pies? I asked as a cat started scratching the back of my chair where my butt is.
I always like to have a little extra, she explained, just in case company drops in.
Company? I thought.
Company? I stared at Grandma.
Is she totally losing it? Who did she think was coming to visit? She lives in the middle of fucking nowhere.
What is going on around here? I wondered. Is Grandma really expecting visitors? Why does she make so much extra food?
Obviously it's the monster. I already answered that, idiot.
Duh. God. Goosebumps.
Chapter 11.
Work builds thirst, Grandpa announced, banging open the kitchen door with his dong. He headed for the refrigerator.
See, I'm right, Grandpa pointed to our empty milk glasses.
Are you two ready to help with the shed now?
Eddie, the children didn't come here to work, Grandma scolded.
Why don't you two have some fun exploring the house? There are endless rooms. I'm sure you'll find some wonderful treasures.
Great idea.
Grandpa's face lit up with a smile, but it faded quickly.
Just one warning. You'll find a locked room at the end of the hall on the third floor. Now pay attention, children. Stay away from that room.
I wish this was a choose your own adventure. I'd choose to go in up in that bitch, you know what I'm saying?
Why? What's in it? Clark demanded. Grandma and Grandpa exchanged worried glances. Grandma's face turned bright pink.
It's a supply room, Grandpa replied. We've stored away things in there. Old things, fragile things. Things that could easily break, so just stay away.
Clark and I took off. We were glad to get away. Grandma Rose and Grandpa Eddie were nice, but weird.
The kitchen, living room, and dining room took up most of the first floor, and we'd seen them already.
There was a library on the first floor, too, but the books in there were so old and dusty, they made me sneeze. Nothing very exciting in there, so Clark and I headed upstairs to the second floor.
Have we already established how many floors there are? I know there's three at least. Is there four? I want to live in a castle in a swamp where I just have sweet internet connection. People just pay me to read audiobooks? That'd be sweet.
We made our way past our bedrooms, past the little hall window. We followed the twists and turns of the dim hallway until we came to the next room, Grandma and Grandpa's bedroom.
I don't think we should go in there, I told Clark. I don't think Grandma and Grandpa want us snooping through their things. Plus, I can already see a butt plug from here, and it's huge. I mean, like, fucking huge. It looks like a cantaloupe. It's like a disgusting cantaloupe with a little... just a little... round flat end for it to sit there, but aside from that, it might actually be a cantaloupe. It's a cantaloupe.
Peepee.
Come on, he urged. Don't you want to check it out? For pancake crumbs? He laughed.
I shoved Clark hard.
Hey, he grumbled. His glasses slid down his nose. It was a joke.
I left my stepbrother in the hall and opened the door to the next room. The door was made of heavy, dark wood. It groaned when I pushed it.
I fumbled in the dark for the light switch.
The room glowed a sickly yellow as if it had some sort of cirrhosis from a single dirty bulb dangling from the ceiling. In the dreary light, I could make out cartons, a room full of cartons, stacks and stacks of them.
Hey, maybe there's some cool stuff in these boxes, Clark said, pushing past me.
Oh, it's like a miniature version of Indiana Jones, the Ark of the... What's the dealie?
Clark began to pry one open.
"Whatever's in here must be pretty big," he said, pointing to the carton's bulging sides. I peered over Clark's shoulder. The room smelled so musty and sour. I held my nose and squinted in the dim light, waiting for Clark to reveal what was inside the box. Clark struggled with the cardboard flaps, and finally they sprang open. "I don't believe this shit!" he exclaimed. "What?" I demanded, craning my neck. "What?" "Newspapers. Old newspapers," Clark reported. We lifted the top of layers of newspapers to reveal... You ready? More newspapers. Old, yellowed, possibly due to pee-pee, newspapers. We opened 5 boxes. Newspapers. All the cartons were stuffed with newspapers. A room filled with cartons and cartons and newspapers dating way back before Dad was born. More than 50 years of newspapers. Why would anyone save all this shit? I wondered. Whoa! Clark leaned over a box across the room. You're not gonna believe what's in this one. What? What's in it? You guys ready? Magazines, Clark grinned. My brother was starting to get on my nerves, but I made my way across the room. I liked magazines, old ones and new ones. I shoved my hand deep inside the magazine box and lifted out a stack. I felt something tickle the palm of my hand under the magazines. I peeked underneath and screamed, "Ah!" The 12th chapter of the book. Hundreds of cockroaches skittered through my fingers. I flung the magazines to the floor. I shook my hand, trying to shake off the ugly brown bugs. Help me, I wailed. Get them off me. Oh, God. When I started reading this, the second place that I lived while reading this, this is the third that I'm currently living, there's cockroaches, and it was horrible. They're just the most disgusting things, and they get fucking everywhere, and there's so many of them. Like, there was sticky things on the back of, like, things holding up posters, and when I, like, took the posters down, they're just covered in cockroaches. Ugh, I'm so glad I'm not that place in my life anymore. They're so terrible. Anyway, she flung the magazines to the floor. I shook my hand, trying to shake off the ugly brown bugs, helping them get me off me. I felt prickly legs scurrying up my arms as if I was detoxing. I struggled to brush them off, but there were dozens of them. Clark grabbed a magazine from the floor and tried to swat them off, but as he whacked my arm, more cockroaches flew from the pages onto my t-shirt, my neck, my face. Ah, no, I shrieked. Help me, help me. I felt a cockroach skitter across my chin. I'm gonna be sick. I brushed it off and slapped one off my cheek. Frantic, I grabbed Clark's comic book from his back pocket and began beating at the scurrying roaches, brushing and batting, brushing and batting. Gretchen, stop! I heard Clark scream, stop! They're all off! Stop! Gasping for breath, I peered down. He was right. They were gone. But my body still itched. I wondered if I would itch forever. I went out into the hall and sat on the floor. I had to wait for my heart to stop pounding before I could speak. That was so gross, I finally moaned. Totally gross. That like little section bothered me most, more than goosebump stuff, just because I goddamn lived in that shithole, and I had, when you're laying down, you're all tired and just fucking cockroach. Ah, God, I hated it. Ah! Why was my life so shitty? I know why my life was shitty. I had a horrible ex-girlfriend, but I'm just saying, like, fuck. God damn. Tell me about it, Clark sighed. I know, I'll tell you about it, Clark. Do you have to use my comic? Did you? He held it up by a corner, not sure if it was safe to stuff back in his pocket. My skin still felt as if prickly roach legs were crawling all over it. I shuddered and brushed myself off one last time. Okay, I stood up and peered down the dreary hallway. Let's see what's in the next room. Really? Clark asked. You mean you want to? Why not? I told him. I'm not afraid of little bugs, are you? Clark hated bugs. I knew he did. Big ones and little ones. But he wouldn't admit it, so he led the way into the next room. We pushed open the heavy door and peered inside.
Chapter number 13. Yeah. Dune reads a Goosebumps. Wow, look at all this junk.
My stepbrother stood in the middle of the room, spinning round and round, taking it all in. A room filled with toys and games. Really old toys and games. Mountains of them. Sadly, that's very enticing to me. In one corner stood a rusty tricycle. I thought you could only lay down and do the rusty tricycle.
Oh well. The big front tire was missing.
Oh, that's how they do it.
I bet this belonged to Dad, I said. It was hard to imagine Dad as a little kid riding this trike. I honked the horn. It still worked. Clark pulled out a dusty chess set from a banged-up wooden box. He began setting up the board while I hunted through the rest of the junk. I found a teddy bear with its head badly twisted out of shape, a box that held a single roller skate, a stuffed toy monkey with one of its arms yanked off. I rummaged through bags and bags of little toy soldiers, their uniforms faded, their faces rubbed off.
That's some symbolism right there. You know, they fought some just forgotten war. Faceless. All uniforms look the same when soldiers are dead.
Wow. Then I spotted an antique toy chest. It had a golden carousel painted on it, dulled with age. I lifted the dusty lid. A porcelain doll rested face down inside the chest. I lifted her gently and looked at her and shit, and turned her face toward me. Fine cracks ran across her delicate cheeks. A small chip mared. It did something to the tip of her nose. A small chip done fucked up the tip of her nose. Then I stared into her eyes and gasped. She had no eyes. No eyes at all. Just two black holes cut out of the space between. Below her small forehead, two gaping black holes. These are Grandma's treasures? I croaked. It's all junk. I dropped the doll into the chest. I heard a squeak from the other side of the room, next to the door. I turned and saw a rocking horse rocking back and forth. Clark, did you push that horse?
I demanded.
No, Clark replied softly, watching the horse rock back and forth, squeaking. Yeep!
Aw, that just reminded me of the guinea pig I had as a kid. His name was Cloudy. He was albino. Yodi, what are you doing, bud?
Let's get out of here, I said. This room is starting to give me the creeps.
Me too,
Clark said. Someone beheaded the queen in that chess set. Chewed her head right off.
Hi, Yodi. You want to come up? My tubby hairless cat is on my lap.
Clark leaped over some boxes and jumped into the hall. I turned for one last look before I clicked off the light. Totally creepy.
Yodi, you having fun? I love you. If I squeeze you, will you make a noise? No? All right.
Clark, where'd he go? I glanced up at Al. Down the long hall. No sign of him. But he was just there, standing in the doorway. Clark, where are you? I walked down the corridor, following its twists and turns. A queasy feeling settled in my stomach. My heart began to race. Clark, this isn't funny. No answer. Clark, where are you?
Chapter number 14. Another cocktail down.
Boo! I let out a long, shrill scream. Clark stepped out from behind me, bent over with laughter.
Gotcha, he cried. Gotcha big time.
That wasn't funny, Clark. I growled at him.
It was just dumb. I wasn't even scared.
He rolled his eyes.
Why can't you just admit it, Gretchen? Admit it just once. You were totally scared.
Not, I insisted.
God, the 90s were fun, being able to say not.
Next time anyone says anything, I'm just going to say not. Regardless of what it is, it could be like, I need you to take me to the hospital, I'm dying. I'll be like, not!
You just surprised me, that's all. I stuffed my hands in my jeans pockets so Clark wouldn't see them shaking.
You're a real jerk, I told him.
Well, Grandma told us to have fun, and that was fun, he teased. So, where should we go now?
We aren't going anywhere, I told him angrily.
I'm going to hide in my room and read.
Hey, great idea, Clark exclaimed. Let's play hide and seek.
Play? Did I just hear you say play?
What a bitchy girl. I don't want to be her. I know I have to be her as I'm reading this, but
your brother wants to play. What a fun guy.
I asked sarcastically. I thought you said that only two-year-olds play.
This is different,
Clark explained. Hide and seek in this house is definitely not for babies.
Clark, I am not.
He didn't let me finish. Not it, he cried.
Then he took off, running down the hall to hide.
I don't want to be it, I grumbled. I don't want to play hide and seek.
What a bummer. Have fun.
You're only young once. Yo-yo.
I don't know why that's so funny. You're only young once. Yo-yo! That's what they should advertise yo-yos with. I'm going to call Dunkin' Donuts. Not Dunkin' Donuts. Dunkin' Yo-yos. I'm going to their contact page right now. I'm also writing down you're only young once, and now I'm going to their contact page.
Oh, well, they're in Ohio.
Oh, I can call them. I'll call them after this. It'll be good.
Not it, Baba. He ran off. I started to count by fives. 5, 10, 15, 20. I called out and counted to 100. Then I started down the dark hall. When I reached the end, the hall turned, revealing an old winding staircase that led up to the third floor.
By the way, I'm half paying attention because I'm so excited about my new yo-yo phrase.
I started to climb the dusty wooden stairs. They wound round and round. I looked up ahead, but I couldn't see where the steps led. I couldn't even see my own feet. It was totally black in there. The stairs creaked and groaned with every step I took. A thick layer of grime coated the banister, but I held onto it anyway. I groped my way up the dark, winding staircase. Breathing hard, I climbed higher and higher. The dust in the air stuck in my throat. It smelled sour and old. I finally reached the top of the staircase and peered down the third floor hallway. It looked like the one below, with the same twists and turns. The same green, dark walls.
It says dark green, but you get it.
The same dim shaft of light that entered from a single window. I slowly moved down the hall and opened the first door I reached. It was a huge room, almost as big as the living room, but totally empty. The next room was just as large, just as empty.
I want a house with a bunch of rooms I don't use. I'm sick of using all my goddamn rooms like some sort of animal. Like some sort of naked mole rat who designates a new use for a room all the time.
I moved carefully down the dark hall. It was really hot up here. Beads of sweat dripped down the sides of my face. I blotted them with the sleeve of my t-shirt. The next room I entered was small. Well, not exactly small, but the smallest I'd seen so far. Against one wall stood an old piano. If it wasn't so gross up here, I'd come back to the room, I thought. I'd come back to see if the old piano worked.
Why don't you just dingy-dingy on it and see if it worked?
Chop, chopsticks, playing chopsticks. But right now, all I wanted to do was find Clark in his hiding place and leave. I walked a little farther, rounded a corner, and choked on a scream as I started to fall. No floor at all beneath my feet.
Sorry, choking.
My hand shot out in the dark, fumbling for something to grab onto. I grabbed something hard.
Yeah.
An old...
Do you think they're going to say dong?
They're not. It's just banister. And held on, held on, held on. I gripped it tightly with both hands and swung myself back up to the solid hallway floor. My heart pounding, I stared down at the gaping black hole where I'd fallen, a hole where an old staircase once stood, now rotted away with age. I let out a long sigh. I'll get you for this, Clark, I cried out loud. I told you I didn't want to play. I hurried down the hall searching for my stepbrother, searching quickly to get his dumb game over with, just like Dune is trying to get this chapter over with so he can call the people who make yo-yos about his new phrase, you're only young once, yo-yo. Then I stopped and stared at the door at the end of the hall, a door with a shiny metal lock. I moved slowly toward the door. A tarnished silver key rested in the keyhole.
Ooh, that's like a door's pee hole.
What is inside there, I wondered. Why is it locked? I stepped closer. Why didn't Grandma and Grandpa want us in that room? They said it was a supply room. Practically every room in this weird old house is a storage room, I thought. Why don't they want us to open that door? I stood in front of the door. I reached out my hand and wrapped my fingers around the silver key. No! I pulled my hand away from the doorknob.
Oops. Jesus Christ. I went on too far. That's the end of part one. Sorry, I wrapped my fingers around the silver key. Sorry, it was at the very end of the page. So I just kept reading on, ignoring that. That being said, you know, it's the end of part one, but I'll get part two up quick. I'm on this. I did two of them today. I'm going to put this up tomorrow, so it's not too annoying. But let's call this number. Stupid new phone, not knowing how to call people. All right. Let's pull up the keypad. 800-232-3474. That is the Duncan, the world's number one yo-yo. Call. All right, I'm calling right now. There we go.
Thank you for calling Flambeau's Consumer Assistance Center. Our office is currently closed. Please note that our business hours are 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. We look forward to hearing from you on our next business day.
What the fuck? They wouldn't even leave a let me leave a message. Ain't that some bullshit? God damn it. I thought I had some huge bit going where I could at least leave a message because I thought of the new yo-yo campaign. Now, I need to look if other yo-yo campaigns, yo-yo companies exist. Yo-yo. I'm just searching yo-yo. Obviously, Duncan comes up first. Yo-yo.com. Wonder what that is. And once again, fucking Duncan. This is just depressing. I feel like I need to milk this into something, but I don't know how it's going to work. Yo-yo. This is terrible. Yo-yo companies. How many yo-yo companies are... Yomega! There we go. I'm calling Yomega right now. Let's see what we got going on. This is absolutely ridiculous. 800-338-8796. Yomega. Oh, they're ringing.
Thank you for calling Yomega, manufacturers of high-performance yo-yos, yo-yo accessories, and skill toys. If you are calling to place an order or need assistance, please dial 228. If you know your party's extension, you may dial it at any time, or you may reach our company directory by pressing the 9 key.
I don't want to do any of that.
Hey guys, Booch here. You've reached Yomega's general delivery mailbox. Leave us a message and we will get back to you. In the meantime, check out Yomega.com and for the latest Yomega news, like us on Facebook at Yomega Corp. Thanks.
Recording.
Heyo, this is Dune from Dune Reads Goosebumps. You can reach me at dune@dunereadsgoosebumps.com. I was calling because I had a great idea for a new slogan for your company, you know, Yomega. And I thought you could, you know, kind of piggyback on Drake's You Only Live Once, YOLO, with You're Only Young Once, Yo-Yo. You like what I'm doing there? Anyway, you can reach me at dune@dunereadsgoosebumps.com, or you can, I guess, call me back at 619... You're only young once. Yo-yo. Like that? I do too. Alright, let's see if they actually call me back. Stay spooky, bitches.